Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Revelation chapter 1, beginning in the 9th verse. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we ask now that you will unfold to us the meaning of the text, that once again we might cast our eyes upon Jesus Christ, who is alive forevermore. Father, that we will take heart and take courage, knowing that because he is alive, we too shall live in him, and we shall live with him forever in the kingdom that he has prepared for us. Now bless us in this time as we preach. Give us listening ears, give us receiving hearts, that we might know the truth, and by knowing the truth of your word, we will surely be set free from our sin. In Jesus Christ I pray, amen. Upon hearing the voice behind him, John turned and saw the omniscient, the omnipresent, the omnipotent, resurrected Lord of glory. And he fell to his knees, as is written here in the text, he fell to his knees, speechless and motionless, as though he were dead, because of that great glory, that magnificent Shekinah of God that was so brilliant around him that he was so awestruck. He couldn't speak, he couldn't move. As a boy, my father and mother and my pastors and my teachers and other leaders in the church taught me to respect Jesus above all others in life. They encouraged me to use his name carefully and to serve him faithfully and to obey him unconditionally. I learned to love Jesus with all of my heart and to serve him with all of my possessions. He became awesome to me. He became bigger than life, bigger than everything else in life. He, to me, was Almighty God. But as I grew older and as I became a teenager and left home and went off to college and had some different friends around me, these and other individuals tried to encourage me to think of Jesus in other terms, not as Lord and God, but as my pal, you know, as my buddy. They tried to get me to accept the fact that obedience to Jesus is not really the biggest thing in life, that I needed to learn to do my own thing. I needed to experience life, and I needed to express myself in life. I needed to embrace Jesus more as Savior and not so much as Lord. And the prevailing thought in those days was, it's more important the things that I do in the name of Jesus than what Jesus could do in me and through me. That has been the prevailing attitude of my generation since those days. Now that I am much older, now that I understand what the Bible teaches and why the Bible teaches us the things that it does teach, I long for myself, for my generation, for all of God's people to return to the attitude that I had as a boy, where Jesus is high and lifted up in the home and in the church and in the society, because Jesus is high and lifted up in the individual life. Amen. I believe it is time for the people of God to once again bow before the Lord because of who He is, rather than in defiance or in contempt of the Lord because of what we've made Him. John sees the Lord, and immediately he falls to his face in awe and in reverence of the risen Christ. He saw Jesus resurrected and glorified, and he fell to his knees at the awesome glory of Jesus. He was overwhelmed. He was overpowered by the presence of the King of Kings. Amen? Jesus touched him, the text tells us. Jesus touched him and said, "Don't be afraid, for I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen." Now this text declares the proof, the truth, the validity of the resurrection. Listen to what Jesus says. "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. That simply means he is the first to be resurrected from the grave, never to die again. There had been other people that had been risen from the dead. Jesus had risen several individuals from the dead. There were Old Testament prophets that were able to raise people from the dead. But every single one of these individuals died again and was buried again. Jesus is the first to die, to be buried, to rise from the grave, never to die again. Amen. He is the firstborn from the dead. Those who follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior become heirs of God, the Bible tells us, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. But the unrepentant, the unsaved soul will live condemned to die the second death in hell. This is the teaching of Scripture. This is not Baptist theology. This is not the theology of this church. This is what the Bible teaches us, because all souls live forever. All souls live forever. And we will either live in heaven with the Lord God because we follow Jesus Christ as Savior, or we will live in hell separated from the Lord God because we have denied Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now I want us to take a look at the text, and I want us to see how Jesus is indeed alive forever. In the first place, Jesus tells John, "I am the first and the last." Now in the Old Testament, this was the sacred name for the eternal, all-sufficient Yahweh, the covenant-making God, the Lord God. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 44, verse 6, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God." Jesus uses it as a reference for himself. And he wants to convey the idea, he wants to not only say to John, but to say to you and me, that he is as Jehovah God the Father is. He is alive forever. Now, several years earlier, John wrote, "In the beginning was the Word," speaking in reference to Jesus Christ. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." John chapter 1, verse 1. John speaks of the eternal existence of the Christ before the worlds began. And in John chapter 8, verses 56 through 58, Jesus says to the Jewish elders, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to Jesus, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And Jesus uses that same word, ego eimi, the same name that the God our Father gave to Moses there at the burning bush when God called Moses to go down into Egypt and to declare the release of the children of Israel from captivity. Moses said, "They're going to ask me who sent me, and so I need to know what your name is." And God said to Moses, "You tell them, I am has sent you." Jesus uses that same name here in reference to himself. I and the Father are one. Jesus said to his disciples, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We're one and the same. Jesus, eternal with God the Father before the worlds began. He was the first. He was before all things. And he declares here to John, he is also the last. W.A. Criswell wrote, "When all of the kings of the earth sleep in the dust of the ground, and their power has passed away, when all of the enduring monuments of the earth have turned into the mists that the morning sun drives away, when all of the great of the earth sleep in their graves, he shall live and abide and reign forever and forever. He is Jesus Christ, the first and the last." Amen. Then Jesus says, "I am he who lives." He tells John, "I am the first and the last, and I am he who lives. I am the living one," the present active participle in the Greek. "I am the one who continues to live without end." That's what it means. The one who continues to live without end. And John testifies to this very thing. John looks upon the face of the risen Lord. He looks into the eyes of the Ancient of Days, and he sees with his own two eyes the Lord of glory, the eternal Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man. 60 years earlier, John was there on Calvary, and he watched as men nailed spikes through his hands and through his feet. He watched as they raised him up between heaven and earth. And he watched as his Lord died there on that cross, giving his life a sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. John heard him as he cried out, "Tetelestai, it is finished. The sin debt has been paid in full." And as Jesus bowed his head and he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," John saw the Savior die. 60 years have passed. And there on that lonely island, that prison island of Patmos, John hears a voice and he turns. And who does he see but Christ, the risen Lord? Jesus said, "I am alive forever. I am he who lives without end." Notice Jesus also says, "I was dead. I am alive, and I was dead. Agenomen nekros. I became dead." Very interesting term that's used here in the Greek Bible. I became dead. It conveys the idea that I willingly died. I willingly surrendered my life over to death. Jesus laid down his life, amen. He laid down his life so that our sins could be forgiven. His life was not taken from him. Listen to me carefully. It wasn't Pilate that killed Jesus. It wasn't the Roman soldiers that put him to death. It wasn't even the Jewish high council that put Jesus on the cross. Jesus willingly laid down his life for you and for me, amen. He took upon himself willingly our sin. He drank the bitter cup of our atonement. He suffered and he died so that we might have eternal life in him. And he did so of his own volition. He did so of his own choice. Isaiah the prophet writes, 700 years before Jesus is born, he writes, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was despised and we did esteem him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Now you may say, "That's wonderful and that's great, but I don't hear anything in there about Jesus willingly doing these things." Well, listen. It was the will of the Father that Christ would become the complete sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. It was God's will that he die. And Jesus willingly accepted the Father's will and gave his life over. It was in the Garden of Eden there on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. While Judas was selling Jesus out to the Sanhedrin, and while Peter and James and John were asleep, leaning against a tree in the cool mists of the evening, Jesus was in the middle of the garden, and in agony he was praying, "Abba, Father, take this cup from me. Everything is possible with you. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Amen. Jesus willingly surrendered and accepted the plan of salvation for your sin and for my sin, for your soul and for my soul. There were guards from the temple that came to arrest Jesus, but it was Jesus who willingly allowed the arrest to take place. And he walked with them to the house of Caiaphas, where he would be falsely accused of blasphemy, and then on to the house of Annas, and then on to the palace of Herod, and then before Pilate, and then before the mob. Yet in every station of the cross, in every place where Christ went in the hour of judgment, he went willingly. He went of his own volition. His life was not taken from him. He laid down his life for us. Now the Bible says, "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God.'" Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 8. Jesus says to John, "I am the first and I am the last." He says to John, "I am he who continues to live, and I have become dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Idu, zonaistus, ainoaston, I onan. Look, living unto the ages of the ages." That's literally what Jesus said. "I am living into the forever of forevers." Jesus said, "I am the one who has always lived, and I am the one who willingly laid down my life, and I am the one who will continue to live forever and forever." He was with the Father in eternity past, before the worlds were formed, before the sun, the moon, or the stars ever shone in the skies. He was alive with the people of God as the great plan of redemption was being unfolded before their very eyes throughout the Old Testament. He walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the Garden of Eden. He journeyed with Abraham from Ur of Chaldees to Haran and then down into Canaan, into the land of promise. He spoke with Moses on the backside of Sinai from the burning bush and commissioned him to go down into Egypt and secure the release of God's people from Pharaoh. He walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego there in the midst of the fiery furnace as Nebuchadnezzar tried to destroy the three young Hebrew men who bore testimony of the true and the living God. He was alive with the disciples as he preached the repentance of sin and the preparation for the kingdom of God. He ministered to the sick. He gave hope to the hopeless. He set the captives free from their sin by his death upon the cross. He was crucified and resurrected on three days later. He was alive on the day of Pentecost, when the church was born into the earth, and he's been alive among the churches from its inception to this very day. And through the generations of time, my friend, Jesus has been alive with his people. He's been alive to encourage them. He's been alive to comfort them. He's been alive to give them wisdom. He's been alive to give them power. For there's power in the name of the risen Savior, amen? There's power in the name of Jesus, amen? There's power in prayer and in answered prayer, amen? There's power to encourage the weak and to heal the sick. There have been individuals who come and they have said, "Pastor and elders, pray for me. I have affliction, I have a disease, I have a condition, and I know that Jesus will hear when you pray. Pray for me that I'll be healed." And we've laid hands and we have prayed and people have been healed by the power of the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. There's power. There's power to save the lost soul, and there's power to heal the broken life. There's power to heal estranged relationships. There's power to encourage those who are ready to give up. There's power to build the church and to extend the kingdom of God wherever the name of Jesus is preached, amen? Rulers and dictators and presidents have come and gone, and their administrations have risen and have fallen, but the kingdom of Jesus Christ will continue on because the King lives forever, amen? Amen. He lives to the end of this age, when he will call his people from the earth, and he will gather them together on the shores of heaven. He will purge the earth during the days of the tribulation, and then he will establish his kingdom in the earth during the millennial reign. The Bible tells us that he will destroy the earth with fire, and with fire the heavens will be consumed, and they will be purged from all sin and all of the effects of Satan and his work since the times began. He is alive, and he will create a new heaven and a new earth, and he will reign as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords after he presides over the judgment of Satan and those who follow Satan. He is the King. He is the risen Christ. And he is alive forever. To the aged Apostle John, he said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I live forever." But I ask you the question, my friend, why? Why should we believe? What's the big deal? Who cares? I mean, for many of us, that's how we live our lives, right? We live as though whatever the Bible says is what the Bible says, and it really doesn't impact my life, really doesn't have anything to do with me, what I am, what I do, where I go, who I see, how I spend my money, how I spend my time. Why should I care that Jesus is alive forever? Why do I need to believe this? The Bible says, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. Listen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is foolishness and your faith is empty. Yes, and we are found to be false witnesses of God, liars, if you will. We're found to be false witnesses of God because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen, Paul says. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sin. then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished forever. Do you believe in a risen Christ? Or does the resurrection of Jesus make no difference to you at all? I dare say there would be people among us this morning who would say, well, you know, it doesn't matter to me if Jesus died on a cross and rose from the grave. I really don't care. I really don't need to believe in that. But you ask an individual if they would rather go to heaven or hell, they'll tell you they'd rather go to heaven. But the Bible says if Jesus is not resurrected from the dead, none of us are going to heaven. We're all in our sin, and we all stand condemned before the Lord God, and His judgment will fall upon us. And that judgment not only falls upon us here in this life, but after this life into eternity, separated from God in a place called hell forever. Now, I know that that's not popular theology, but it is biblical theology, amen? It may not be what you believe, but it's what the Bible teaches, amen? We need to believe and accept the testimony of Scripture that Christ is risen from the grave. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who dwells in you. What Paul is saying is, because Jesus is risen from the dead, if you're a follower of Christ, if you believe in Jesus as the Lord and Savior, then the Spirit of God lives in you, and the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will raise you from the dead also on the day of judgment. He writes to the church at Colossae chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. But if the Spirit, and if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. There's the promise, my friend. Not only the promise of Jesus' resurrection, which has already taken place, but here is also the promise of your resurrection, which is yet to take place. It is imperative. Doesn't matter what CNN says. Doesn't matter what modern day theologians may want to tell you or convince you of. Doesn't matter all of the things that you read in books and see on television and in the movies. Hollywood has been known to be wrong. Amen. Theologians struggle to get it right from time to time. I know, I've sat under some. But the Scripture is the truth of God. And the Scripture does not lie. It is the Word of God to you and to me to know, to understand, to embrace, and to live by. And it is very explicit and very clear when it says, Jesus is risen from the dead. And He was the one who lives. He is the one who gave His life as a sacrifice. And He is the one who is alive forever. And if you, my friend, are a follower of Jesus Christ, then the Word of God says, as a promise to you, you will live with Him forever in His kingdom. So I ask you the question, will you be the one who reigns with Christ in His kingdom when His kingdom comes? Have you committed your life to Jesus? Will you follow Him as the Lord and the Savior of your soul? He is alive, amen, and He lives forever, and He promises you that same inheritance with Him, if you'll only trust Him as Christ and as Lord. Pray with me, if you will. Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful word given to John and then through John to the churches and to us today, that the one whom we have given our lives to, the one whom we follow with all sincerity, the one Lord God whom we look to, upon whom all of our faith and our hopes are pinned, this Jesus who is the Christ, is He who lives, who became dead, but who rose again and who lives forever. Thank you, Father, that the promise of eternal life is given to every individual, every man, woman, boy, or girl who is willing to trust in Jesus and to claim him as Lord and Savior of their life. I pray for that soul that is struggling today to know Jesus. I pray that that soul will surrender even now. Knowing the truth, I pray that they'll be set free by the truth, set free from their sin, set free from the guilt of their sin, set free from the power of sin, and given the freedom to live in Jesus Christ. And I pray that that soul will take courage even now and will come at this time of commitment and surrender his or her life to the Savior. And by committing their way to Christ, they will be born into the kingdom of God and they will have the inheritance of eternal life as your word has promised us. Father, walk among us, speak to us, encourage us, lift us up, bind us up, Lord God, and give us hope in Christ Jesus. I pray in his holy and his gracious name. Amen and amen. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.